I'd like to begin by welcoming you all here tonight. I'm glad to see that you were able to make it and to be a part of the services tonight. I'm always encouraged to see my fellow brothers and sisters here and see that y'all have a desire to worship God, and it's always encouraging to me. If you're a visitor, we would like to especially make you feel welcome. We'd hope that you would fill out a visitor's card on the pew in front of you, and we hope that you're edified for having been here today, and we'd invite you back at any time. Tonight we're going to be discussing a scripture that I think most of us are very familiar with. It's been the topic of a lot of lessons. It's on a lot of plaques and paintings in people's homes. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a good scripture. It's one that's encouraging, and it's one that is an example to families as well as individuals for how we should act and how we should choose to live our lives. And that verse is Joshua 24 and 15. We'll read the whole thing. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I'd like to break this passage down into four parts. Specifically, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose, meaning that we all have a choice to make. You, that it is our choice to make, that no one can make this choice for us. And once we have made this choice, nobody can ever take that away from us. This day, meaning that today we are making a choice. And that if up until now we have been making poor choices, then now is the perfect time to rectify that situation. Whom you will serve. You will have to choose today who you will serve. Will it be our God and our Creator? Or will it be man and things of the world? This is the most important choice that we can make, and it is one that we make every day. And it's a choice that can be seen in all our thoughts and actions. From the beginning of time, man has had a choice set before him, to serve God or to not. And it is truly as simple as that. It is often in life that the most important things we have to do are the simplest of choices. And a lot of times the simplest choices that we have are the hardest ones to make. Deuteronomy 11 and 26 tells us, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which you have not known." So we see that to choose to obey God is a blessing, but to turn away from God would be a curse to ourselves. Perhaps you are on the fence about having to make a choice. Perhaps you didn't know you had a choice to make. Let's read 1 Kings 18 and 20. It says, "So Ahab sent out unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Elijah asked him, "How long halt ye between two opinions? How long will you stand there stuck, not choosing?" By not actively choosing to serve God, we choose to be against him. And there is no riding the fence on this. Luke 11:23 says, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." To not choose God is foolish. Proverbs 1 and 29 says, "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and shall be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." So now that we can all see that there is a choice to be made, and that each choice we make will have consequences, whether that be good or bad, I'd like to look at the next line in the scripture, the word "you." The word there simply means you, yourself. Not me, not your mother or your father, or a friend or a spouse or a child. No one else can choose for you. Not a pastor or an elder or someone who just knows a lot about the Bible. The decision is put to you, and only you can make the decision. Deuteronomy 24 and 16 The father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. If your family or friends choose not to serve God, then you won't be punished for their sins. Ezekiel 18:4 says, "Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so is the soul of the Son mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." At the same time, you choosing to serve God will not wipe away the sins of those around you. Proverbs 11:21 says, "Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered." This decision that God asks you to make is a decision that no one can change for you once you've made up your mind. If you make this decision to serve God and your family hates you for it, it doesn't matter. It's a choice between you and God. Romans 8:38, I believe this is Paul speaking, says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor present things, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord." And sometimes this is a sad and very, very hard thing to deal with, to know that you're making the right choice, but to see your loved one struggling and know that they will have to answer for the choices they've made. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." There may even come a time when your family might attack you for your choice to serve God. Matthew 10:34 says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Though it may be hard to deal with sometimes, because we know the terror of the Lord, and we know what awaits all men, we work to persuade men to serve God. We work to persuade our family members to serve God. We can be certain that every man will receive a reward for his works, whether that be works of evil or works of good. Matthew 16:27 says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Christ will come back, and at that time he will reward the ones who obeyed his gospel and spent their lives in service to him. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." There's no better way to spend your life, and there's no more rewarding a choice than to submit to his will for your life. We must believe and have faith that he will reward those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You know, for those folks who choose to not obey the gospel, a much different fate awaits, a fate that no man can escape. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Then in Isaiah 13:11 it says, "And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the pride to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." You know, perhaps you don't want to submit to God's will. Perhaps you don't feel like you owe God your allegiance. If that's the case, let's turn over to Luke and read about some servants who wouldn't have God to reign over them and what their fate was. We're not going to read the whole parable, but the story goes something like this. The master left a bunch of things for his servants to do while he was out of town, and they were supposed to have these things done before he returned. And after he leaves, some of the servants get to talking, and that's where we'll pick up the story. Let's read Luke 19:14, and then we'll skip down to verse 27. It says, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. But those mine enemies, which would not that should reign over him, reign over us. And then skipping to verse 27, sorry, this is the master speaking here. It says, but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. I'd like to turn over to the book of Acts and let's read about a man who had someone care about him enough to tell him that he had a choice to make. And he was convicted, but he refused to turn to serving God. Acts 24 and 24, and after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled. And he answered, and he said, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. The convenient season is today, right now, this very moment. You'll never find a better time to choose to serve God. Serving God is kind of like planting trees. The best time to do it is 25 years ago and today. Furthermore, what if this was the very last season that you have? What if there won't be another one? What if your days on this earth are shortly numbered? At some point in our lives, we will come to a point when we won't be able to do anymore. We won't have the ability to choose anymore. That is when we die or our lives on this world end. John 9 and 4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Time and seasons will end. God created time with a word and it'll end the exact same way. Hebrews 9 and 27 says, and it is as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. It says that it is appointed unto man once to die, then be judged. It doesn't say anything about man dying, then having a chance to choose God, then being judged. For us to have a hope at judgment time, we must choose now, while we're here, alive, on this earth, drawing breath. We must also choose the one person who can help us in time of judgment. The one person who, when God looks at our lives, will speak up and say, this one is mine, Father. He's made clean by me. I know him. He's a servant of mine. 1 Timothy 2 and 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Once we die, it's too late. We have no idea when that time will come. It could be 100 years from now, or it could be the time that it takes us to draw another breath. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 2 says, For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You know, Joshua didn't tell them to take a week and think it over. He didn't tell them to sleep on it a night before you make a decision who you're going to serve. He said, today, right now. And I urge you to do the same tonight. If you've been convicted by the word of God tonight, and you know that you need to make a change, why do you halt between two opinions? Will you sit there silently like those priests of Baal did that we read about earlier? Or will tonight be the night that you make a change and you choose to start serving God? James 4 and 8 says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And they say, well, I don't want to make a choice today. Well, I would say that that's just tough, because you already are making a choice. Whether you like it or not, or whether you believe it or not, you are choosing one way or the other. Matthew 6 and 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now that we see that we all have a choice to make, and that there are very dire consequences for our choices, and that choice is ours alone to make, we come to the actual choice. Who will you serve? God? Ecclesiastes 12 and 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Will you choose to serve our Creator, our God who spoke our entire universe into existence? Colossians 1 and 16 says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Tonight, do you stand in awe of God? Do you fear Him and keep His commandments? Do you know the terror of the Lord? Psalm 33:8 says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Will you choose the God who loves you and sent His own Son to die for your mistakes and for your sins? Isaiah 53:4 says, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Or perhaps tonight will you choose to serve sin and serve the things of the world? Will you turn your back on God and join His enemies? Remember, if you're not with Him, you're against Him. Deuteronomy 28:47 says, "Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with the gladness of the heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and He shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until He have destroyed thee." Following after the world and following after man makes us enemies of God. Romans 8:7 says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." So tonight I hope that we have shown that we all have a choice to have been made in our lives, that there is consequences for how we choose. There is a right answer and there is a very wrong answer. I hope we see that it is our choice alone and that nobody can ever take that from us, that no one can make it for us, and that it is ours to make today. How long will you stand halted between two opinions? Are you an enemy of God? Will you be counted among His enemies? If you choose to not serve Him, then you are. If you choose to not make a choice and to be neutral, then you're an enemy as well. But there is a way to fix that. Let us help you repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Or perhaps you're here tonight and you're struggling to continue choosing God. Do you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters? If so, come forward and make today the day that you choose to serve God as we stand and sing.